Brother Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Please come and God bless you.
Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter number 15. Folks, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 22 years old, and so I'm 41 now. I've been saved, I guess, now, whatever the math is, 19 years or whatever. And a little bit before I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I got out of high school, and I was a professional tree climber by trade. And so I've got a small tree service, and also I preach the Word of God. And so anyway, I come to you today, and I count it such a privilege to be here and such a privilege to preach this old book. It's changed my life, and every time we open it, it'll change lives. And so let's go to the old book, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm going to go ahead and read that passage again. It says, and he said, of course, Jesus is speaking. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Father, I do thank you this morning for your greatness. I thank you, Father, for the precious blood of Christ, in which I claim over this auditorium here this morning. In the name of that precious name, that name of authority, Jesus Christ, we resist Satan, we resist the enemy here this morning, spirit of distraction and of bitterness, or of anything that would cause the word of God not to come to fruition. We bind that in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Spirit of God, I turn this over to you, this atmosphere here, this message, this preacher. Oh, precious Lord, would you lead me? I pray. I submit to it now. And I'll thank you for what you're going to do. Strengthen our homes, we pray, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus Christ gives the account of the prodigal son. We see here in this passage that the heart of our heavenly Father, as we analyze the heart of this earthly father. His heart was to see his entire family in harmony one with another. His love is strong, it's true, and no doubt, folks, it is unconditional. But as we examine this passage, we'll see that his boys did not share his vision. They didn't share his heart. Oh, how important it is for us as parents, those that know Christ and that love him, to pass that heart on to the children, to pass that heart on to the next generation. And so this morning, I want to preach a message that will, about five things that will destroy our home. You see, there are things that will stop that message from going to the children. There are things that will stop that message, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, about going into the world. I want to give you five things that will stop that message this morning. And here's the question I have for you, and I'm going to ask you at the end of the message. Are you, before God today, in light of His Word, are you in sinking sand or are you on the solid rock? Are you in sinking sand in your family life today? Or are you on the solid rock? Look at verse 12 if you're with me, if you would. The first thing I want us to see that will destroy our homes, that will divide our homes, is simply a spirit of discontentment. A spirit of discontentment. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. Discontentment. This young man was not satisfied with his present conditions. All right? The definition of contentment simply means this. Rest or quietness of mind in the present condition. In other words, satisfied. So discontentment is not satisfied with what's going on here. And that's exactly what we have in verses 12 and 13. The younger son says, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Jewish custom was to give the firstborn son two-thirds of the inheritance. It was to give the secondborn son one-third of the inheritance. And this usually took place after the death of the father. But this younger son wanted his portion early. The Bible says in verse 13, he gathered all his inheritance. He took his journey into a far country. Essentially, and what this young man was saying, listen, don't miss it now, folks. What this young man was saying is, Dad, I don't like living here. I don't want to be near you. Isn't that what he's saying? Oh, it is. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to identify with this family. This isn't good enough for me. I don't care what you think. You are standing in the way of my happiness. That's what he's saying here. I told you before, I run a small tree service, and so I get out around a lot of people and to give estimates and to talk with people and everything and that kind of business, you know. And one day I went to this job there in the Seton Hall area there where we live near State College, and I started up this tree. A big old silver maple was going out over the man's house, and he wanted these big limbs off. Anyway, long for sure, I started up this tree. And I didn't get to the first branch, and the guy starts talking to me about his family life and about the divorce that he went through, and started telling me about how, now listen, folks, this had been, the man had been married 25 years, okay? Or no, maybe this, I'm not sure how it went. Maybe that was 25 years ago this happened. It was a long time ago it happened, but here he is telling me about this as I go up this tree, right? And how that when the first son, or I'm sorry, the last son became 18 years old, his wife came to him and said, I don't love you anymore, and I'm going to divorce. It blew him away. He had no idea. Apparently, there's no communication, anything like that, but blew him away. And he's telling me about these things, right? And she said it was all his fault. And she was leaving. Essentially, what she was saying here is simply this. I don't like living here. I don't want to be near you. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to identify with this family. This isn't good enough. I don't care what you think. You're standing in the way of my happiness. I want to say to you, this had been years and years of this man, that this had happened, and the scars go so deep. I want to say this morning that discontentment will destroy your home. Discontentment will destroy your life. It is a spirit, and it is not of God. Is of the enemy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great what? Gain. So discontentment is great what? Loss. It's a loss. It's a loss. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Folks, we need to count our blessings, amen? We need to count them. And I want to tell you, today, if you're married, that's who God wants you to be married to. That's what He wants. Doesn't want the second marriage. Now, if you don't want a second marriage today, that's who God wants you to be married to. I'm talking about contentment. Contentment brings together. But discontentment, it divides. You see, it divides. Today, this woman that left her kids and her husband when they were when the old, youngest one was 18 years old, she's in her late 60s today, living alone in an apartment. I'm going to tell you, discontentment will destroy your home and your future. And let me say something to you young people out there that are living at home right now. You see, I'm not satisfied with rules. I'm not satisfied with how dad and mama. I'm not satisfied with this. Listen, be content. I want to say to you, find your joy, your happiness, your fulfillment in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me, hear me well. That's the answer. It's knowing Him personally. You say, well, you don't, you preacher, you don't know about my husband. Let me tell you something. You give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll do anything for Him. I'm talking about an intimacy and a fellowship in the prayer closet that will not quit. And you marry Him. You allow Him to be that significant other. You'll let the other things fall in place. And you get your joy in that relationship with Him. And you go ahead and do what God wants you to do in the marriage, dear friend. Make Him that fulfillment. Some single struggling here. Maybe you're not married. You want to be married. Make Jesus your all. Let Him do it. When we do it, it's a train wreck anyway. It is. It's a disaster. Follow Christ, young person. May He be your all in all. People can be discontent about their marriages, about their children, about children can be discontent about their parents, about their jobs. People can be discontent about their looks, their bodies, their social standing, their houses, their cars, their stuff. And you know, and there's always that one thing, you know. Folks that say, well, if it wouldn't be for this one certain thing in my life, or this certain person, or this certain situation, my life would be so much better. No, you'd find something else. Because it's human nature. I want to say we need to find our contentment in Jesus Christ. How much time do you spend in this book? How much time do you spend in prayer? Young person, let me ask you a question this morning. Have you taken steps forward by faith to build a relationship of intimacy with the Savior? With the one who made you, the one who loves you, the one who died for you, gave His all for you, that He became poor that you might be rich? Or are you just doing your own thing? You got better things to do. You got video games to play. What is it? How about the rest of us? Adults, what do you got going? I got a lot of hunting to do. A lot of fishing at the lake. By the way, nothing wrong with those things. And I'm not saying that. You can fellowship with God while you're doing those things. So don't think the preacher's saying that. I'm saying this. The main thing is Christ. That's what I'm saying. Let Him have His way in your life. And I want to tell you, you want to get rid of that spirit of discontentment? Go with Him. Find your contentment in Him, you see. And so number one, the first thing we see in a passage here this morning that will destroy our homes is an attitude or a spirit of discontentment. But number two, which is kind of like it here, is a spirit of unthankfulness. That young man says to his dad, he says, Dad, give me, right? Give me that stuff, Dad. We have the gimme gimmes today, don't we? Yes. You say, preacher, I want to tell you right now, what I'm preaching to you is what I need preached to me. Say, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm saying, I got some give me's to myself sometimes. I'll tell you, I got a spirit of unthankfulness sometimes, a spirit of this. What? You know what I need? Right back in line with that relationship with Jesus Christ. In the Word of God, in the morning time. Or just right through the day where He walks with me, He talks with me, He tells me I'm His own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known, even in the middle of the day. A consciousness of God and of His Word. who he is.
Listen, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he's the senior partner. What's the Holy Spirit to you? What is he? Is he your master? Your love? The joy of your life? Is he just an influence that comes and goes every once in a while? Think on it. What is it to you? But a spirit of unthankfulness. This young man took his journey. He wasn't thankful for what Dad had. You know, he didn't really know what he had. And he didn't know what kind of money he was wasting. He was unthankful. How many times do we hear of a young man inherits a business, or a young lady inherits a business, and the older folks in the town will say, when Bob built that business, buddy, he made sure you were satisfied. Boy, I'll tell you, it was something then. But he passed it to the boy. And it's always said with that downward spiral. But he passed it to the boy. The boy didn't know what it took to make that business. Right? And the blood, sweat, and the tears that went into that thing. And so, consequently, he doesn't have the same heart for his customers. Now, it is, by the way, folks, it isn't always like that. Some businesses are passed on, and praise God, they even do better. Okay? It has to do with whether or not you're thankful and can appreciate things. You see, I'm going to tell you right now, if a room this size, there's a whole lot of us in here today. We have a whole lot to be thankful for. We have a whole lot that we can appreciate. Yeah, there's things that are tough. There's things that maybe perhaps a lot of people don't know about what's going on in your life. And it is very hard. I'll tell you, Jesus knows and he cares. Tell it to him. Let him handle it. Find your joy in your relationship with him. Live above the circumstance, so to speak. Why? It's mine heart toward him. Yes. No. Psalm 100 verse 4, I think we heard this morning. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful in him and bless his name. Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, that's what he wants. A spirit of discontentment, a spirit of unthankfulness. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it'll destroy our homes. You know, oftentimes being having a tree service there in a local area there in Spring Mills where we live, and often I get a lot of older folks as customers, and they'll talk about the trees and worry about the wind going to blow them over and what do you think about this or that, you know. And so oftentimes they'll get around folks that have lost their spouses, and they'll express to me how much they miss them. I don't often hear much bad about somebody that passed away that's a spouse. They'll express how much they miss them. They'll talk about their good qualities. They'll talk about the good times they had together. I'll talk about how a widow lady said, boy, my husband used to always handle all this, and he did such a great job, and she said, I miss him so much. She talked about the good men. Well, what are these people doing? They're expressing appreciation. Folks, don't wait till they're dead to express appreciation to these dear people in your life, in your lives. No. Don't do it. You want to talk about all the bad qualities? Forget them. Because when they're gone, they're gone. You love them. You focus on the good. You don't marry somebody to change them, young people. You don't marry somebody to change them. You marry them because you want what they are right now. Or else you're going to be in a whole world of hurt. It's called a train wreck marriage. It's called Divorce City. It's called heartbreak and heartache. It's called... And the kids are along for the ride, and it's a horrible thing. And there's some young people sitting in this auditorium this morning. Guess what? You've got an opportunity to do it right the first time. Why don't you just go ahead? When we're done with this message, go ahead and just lay your life right on the altar and give it to Jesus Christ. We're done. Say, Lord, I'm done with myself. I'm done with all my thoughts, and I'm going to take on yours. And I'm going to commit to getting in your word and knowing you and following you. So I don't have that mess. You see. Unthankfulness. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, what was the language there? The language was murmur, 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 murmur. Just complaining against God and against Moses. Oh, hey, listen. Christian, if you're saved today, you're not in the wilderness. No. You're in the promised land. Victory in Jesus. Amen? That's what it is. Get out of the wilderness. Get out. These guys pack their bags and let's go back to Egypt. They got the cucumbers and the mangoes and whatever they had down there. We're packing their bags. Hey, listen, how many of us pack our bags every day when we start murmuring? We're heading back down to Egypt. No. Don't pack your bags. Stay in a promised land. You see? Yes. Number one, discontentment. Number two, unthankfulness. Folks, you think this morning that these things are just unthankfulness and discontentment. They're just two little things. No. You understand. These things that hold homes together. Why? Because they're God's principles. Thankfulness. Contentment. And the next one, number three, is disrespect will destroy your home. Disrespect. Sometimes as you watch the way the world's going, there's a whole generation of disrespecters. Young people, guess what? You don't have to be in there. Stand tall in Jesus Christ. You see. Young man comes to his dad. He says, Dad, give me a portion of the goods. Listen, the fact that he demanded his inheritance early was a slap in the face to his dad. And then he goes and spends all his money. And we know the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6 and verse 2 says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's the first commandment with promise. I know a young girl in her early 20s, and this happened years ago. I went to visit a home, and this young girl was there, and her dad would say something like this in the conversation. I spent some time with him there, and her dad would say, yeah, I got to get that oil changed in that car pretty soon. And the daughter would pipe up and say, yeah, right, Dad. When are you ever going to get around to that? Right from me. I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? You know? I soon found out where it came from. Because Dad said something about he had a meeting down at the church. Said, yeah, they were Christians. Yeah, went to a local church. He had a meeting down at the church. He had some problems. They had to sort out. Yeah. Her mother looks at the daughter and says, yeah, that'll be the day. Your dad thinks he can handle this situation or that situation. She said, that'll be the day. You know what I found out about that guy? He spent an awful lot of time in the garage. Huh? He spent an awful lot of time. He had the best looking blueberries in town. I don't know if you know anything about blueberries there, but I'll tell you what, this takes a lot of time to grow blueberries. He's the best looking in town, man. Why? So those two crows chased him out of the house. That's exactly what it was. Now, folks, let me say something. That there, destroy your home. I heard some fellow here say recently about the sitcoms on TV just nailing down the deck. Listen, Dad's ahead of home. Listen, this book's old-fashioned. This book's old-fashioned. We ought to just believe what these pages say. I know that there's a lot out there. And I'm going to put this in here because they say, well, we need our women to have careers. They need to go to work because it takes two income. That's not what the old book says. There's nothing wrong with a lady with a career. Because I'll tell you something. The Proverbs 31 woman, that woman worked outside the house. She worked inside the house. That woman worked. All right? And she was, she bought property. She had a head on her shoulders. No doubt. But when it comes down to little children, don't send them off somewhere unless you absolutely have to. Don't let somebody else wipe their running noses. Don't let somebody else give them that worldview. There's a worldview. There's a war out there. And our young people need to know the proper worldview. And it comes from the book. That ain't popular preaching, but God didn't call the preacher to be popular. He called him to preach. He called him to give what this book says. That doesn't mean that the lady's a deadhead and she can't do anything. She has to be barefoot pregnant all the time. That's not the Bible picture. It's not. She's intelligent. She's creative. She's able to take care of the things at home and do what she needs to do. If it means she's not going to work for a while, fine. So be it. Whatever it means. But listen, God works in individual lives. It's not going to look the same in this family as it does in this family or that family. But the principles remain the same. Right? Right. And disrespectfulness will divide. It'll destroy. I was trimming trees for a guy. Just before I went up this, that's a honey locust out in there. Just before I went up that honey locust, going to trim it out over the house there. And guy sat down and he started smoking a cigarette. Obviously, he's a lost man. Not just because that sounded bad, did it? Just because you smoke cigarettes don't mean you're lost, all right? So I shouldn't have said that. And that was a stereotype, and that shouldn't have been, okay? But I want to tell you, the correct you're not to smoke cigarettes, okay? Let's just put it that way. But it doesn't mean you're lost. This means you just hooked on nicotine, you can't get off of her, all right? And you need the Lord to do that. Now, enough said about that. Anyway, he lit up a cigarette, and he had it sticking out the side of his mouth. And he says, yeah, he says, I'm semi-retired. He said, I'm an electrician. And he said, I'm semi-retired, and I need, he says, I do a couple jobs a week. I thought, oh, okay. He goes, yeah. He says, I come down the steps, and that's right before I'm getting ready to put my saddle on, you know, right in the rope and tree, and got the hard hat on, my earmuffs getting ready to put them on. The guy says, yeah, I come down for 45 minutes in the morning. He says, I have a cup of coffee, and he says, I listen to, that's what he said. He says, I listen to the old lady for about 45 minutes. I can't take any more. Out the door I go. That's what he said.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I'm going to tell you something. Young people, that's not what marriage is. That's not what God wants. All right? He says, yeah, my wife's trying to sell her house. I'll sell her mother's house. Her and her sister. I didn't meet his wife, but she must have been a blonde-haired lady. Okay? Because she said, no, I'm not. He called her back. He said, the two blondes, they're trying to sell a house, and they don't know what they're doing, whatever. I don't know why he doesn't help him, if that's what he thinks. You know, I'm not sure what's going on there. But what am I saying? Disrespect. Guys, our homes ought to look different than that. Our homes need to look different than that. Disrespectfulness. As children of light, our homes must not have that disrespectfulness in it. Number four. Now, let's look at another member of the family here. Let's jump down to the older son, verse 28. Here this other boy comes home. We know the story, right? Or should I say the account? We know the account. This other boy comes home, and the older son, in verse 28, now watch it now. Here he comes home. He comes down. He hears music and dancing and everything. And let's pick it up here in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked that what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Watch verse 28. And he was what? He was angry. He was angry. And he would not go in. There's nothing like the sin of jealousy to rob a person of their inner peace and that sweet fellowship with Christ. It destroys. In Genesis chapter 4, jealousy led to the first murder, didn't it, of mankind? Cain murdered Abel. In Genesis 37, it caused Joseph's brothers to put Joseph to sell him into slavery. I know of a lady and her husband that cannot get along or even talk to the other side of their family, of her family, because when her dad was still alive, they felt like her dad favored her brother and their family. She got angry. She forfeited her relationship to that side of the family. There was harsh words. You know what I'm talking about. And I want to tell you, it was bitterness, and Satan was getting a foothold. Husbands and wives can get jealous of each other. Siblings get jealous of each other, and it's devastating. And I want to say it's the ultimate plan for Satan. It's his ultimate plan to divide your home, to destroy your home. What's God speaking to you about this morning? What has God said to you thus far? Destruction. You see. Jealousy. But the last thing this morning, number 5, verse 29, look at this. It says, and he answering said to his father, he said, Father, oh, I'm sorry. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee,
neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Dad, I served thee, neither transgressed I at any time. You know what this older brother's saying, guys? He's saying, I never did anything wrong. That's what he's saying. Listen, a person that will not admit when they are wrong will tear down your home. They'll blame someone else. They'll skate around the truth. They'll distract from the truth. They'll make excuses just so they don't have to humble themselves and admit that they were wrong. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You ever been around somebody that thinks they know everything? Yeah. You know, a self-righteous person who never does anything wrong and Mr. Know-It-All, they're first cousins. Did you know that? Because usually the same people that know everything never do anything wrong. Not always.
Most time, though.
Why? Because it's an inner, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. I was talking to a guy, and I forget what it was about. Something that I knew that he didn't know anything about. You know what I'm saying? And I said, yeah, this. He goes, yeah, I know. I know that guy didn't know. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, no, you didn't. You don't know. But he kept saying, I know. Listen, those things tear down your home. No one has all the answers, folks. We need to rely on God, on His Word, on His book. Why? We need to rely on Jesus Christ. He loves us so much. He does the guiding, the directing. Wisdom waits and says, boy, let me pray about that. Let me think about that a little bit. How's that compared to Scripture? You see, it causes conflict, division, and strife. Why? Because the root of it is pride. James 4 and 6, verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Here's a question I have for you. Are you the type of person that quickly admits when they're wrong? Between you and the Lord. Are you the type of person that quickly admits when they're wrong? Now, let me ask this. Would the ones closest to you say that about you? Folks, God's word gets right to our heart. He wants your heart today. He's worthy of it. He's deserving of it. He's so kind and good. He's the good shepherd of Psalm 23. Are you willing to allow Him to lead you by still waters into green pastures? What about these five things? There's a scripture in Isaiah that I just can't get away from these days. Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. Now, it's in context there. It's speaking of about prophecy and about the latter days. But there's some principles we can draw. The Bible says, "In the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever." And my people, don't miss this. This is the home. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. That's a peaceable home. In sure dwellings. That's the kind of dwelling where the kids can rest assured of dad and mom like that. And if they're not like that, they see dad and mom like this, and then they see him get like that. A short dwelling. And quiet resting places. Now, I got five children. I want to tell you, my home's not always a quiet resting place. Because those kids, they do stuff. Everywhere. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about matter of the heart. Quiet resting place. Does that describe your home today? Or does discontentment, unthankfulness, disrespectfulness, jealousy, self-righteousness,
as that more describe your home today. What's God speaking to you about this morning? Just like in this Bible account, there's a loving father that just wants the best for those sons. I want to tell you, there's a loving father that just wants the best for you. And he's given us that in his word. We need to find our contentment, our all, in him, in his word. Don't choose to allow your home to be destroyed. I asked you the question this morning. With your home life, are you on sinking sand on some things? Or are you on the solid rock? How about it this morning? What's God speaking to you about? Let's go ahead and stand this morning for prayer. I'm going to ask the piano player to come. Is that possible this morning? And I believe that we've got a hymn picked out. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the pastor to come and go ahead and close the service. I'm going to pray and I'll ask the pastor to close the service and then we'll have him. Father, I thank you so much for how gracious you are. God, I pray you speak to each heart. God, we need you. We're needy people. Please have your way in each heart and each life. And I pray for those specific things you showed each of us. You would give us that overwhelming strength that we need to go ahead and obey your precious words and to allow our homes to be on that solid rock that you so desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.